Welcome back to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can always get the podcast at Google, Apple, Spotify, whatever your preferred podcast platform is. Remember, while you're there, to rate, subscribe, and share, so that way you and your friends never miss a minute of the show. Well, a lot of you have been asking, hey, Ari, where's Semi Bird? How come you haven't had him on the show? And I'm like, we've had him on the show like three or four times, guys, but coming fresh off his endorsement for the Washington State GOP nomination for governor for Washington, joining us now on the KVI studio line, Semi Bird. Semi, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back with you, Ari. I actually miss you, my brother.
Good to have you on the show, my friend. So tell us about the convention a little bit, because it seems like there was a whole bunch of craziness going on there. This is the first time the GOP has done a convention like this in quite a long time. And it seemed like you guys came loaded for bear with your delegates to this thing.
Wow. Well, you know, I have to say, it was exciting. And I know people will say, well, you're saying it was exciting because you won the supermajority and received the endorsement, et cetera. But it really was. And I really want to give credit to Chairman Jim Walsh and how he handled it, but also how he explained it. I think he said it best. And he said it best before, he said it best during, and he said it best after. I believe Chairman Walsh explained it as it's going to be real. It's a convention. And he says Republicans don't choke off, and that's my words now. He says Republicans don't hold back or stifle people's voices. They let the voice of the people be heard. And the delegates got passionate about what they wanted to happen during their convention. And that's what we saw. And Chairman Walsh held order. He brought order. And folks in the presence of a last minute move said, no, we want it to be as you said it was going to be. And it became that, I mean, through the Roberts Rules of Order process. It was exciting, Ari. It really was. And it was exciting to watch Jim Walsh's prowess of Roberts Rules and leadership. It was exciting to watch our delegates self-govern again. And the fact that we had our historic record number of delegates show up from all across the state, representing every county in the state and all of those precincts, I have to say, I had no idea, and I have to also say that no one, Dave nor myself, could have predicted who would be there, whether it were delegates for Dave or delegates for me. I know I had no idea.
So it sounds like your campaign is actually bragging online about having brought a ton of people who are going to vote for you. So you sure you didn't know who was going to be there?
I really didn't, brother. I truly, I mean, you know, you pray, you hope, and we've been campaigning hard. And, you know, I think you saw that. I think everyone saw that because people would always say, Semi, we see you out there. I see you out there always. I see you out there always. And sometimes they would say, where's the other gentleman? But we see you out there always. And that was something I heard a lot, if people are being honest about it. And I think that probably led to this. We worked hard. I mean, we really did. And it's not me. There are so many people who had their hands in this. And it was just grassroots and passion and a belief that we, the people, can do this. We believe in something greater than ourselves. And they showed up. And I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. I'm so humbled by this. I'm almost speechless to it. It's like living in a battle every day where you're fighting hard for something that you really believe in. And so for me, it's somewhat numbing, but boy, I'm just so proud of them. And you know, it's emotional. It really is.
Now, from the video I saw from the convention, I wasn't there myself, but it seems like a lot of the controversy stemmed from your application for the nomination, where you had omitted certain information, whether intentionally or by accident, and that seemed to cause all the controversy. I mean, it seems like there's always something else that's coming up in your background. What do you say to the people who say this stuff is jeopardizing your chances of getting elected here in Washington?
Not at all. Let me speak truth to this, and then I don't want to say challenge, but let's speak truth to it. So it was about a vetting question. And so anyone who was there, so we have over 1,800 people who were there, and then they'll vet out what I'm saying. We showed up on that day, it was Friday, and when the candidate committee chair got up to speak, her report was that they met last night, which I had the night before. I had no idea they were meeting. And they met and they said that based on their information, and I believe they said an article in the Seattle Times brought forth information that they were going to disqualify me. That happened the night before. Apparently, according to Dave Reichert himself in an interview, his words recorded and in an interview, he stated that he was promised by leaders of the GOP that I would be disqualified. So how is it that he can be promised that I would be disqualified when I didn't even know of this until the morning that she got up and her words were spoken? But to specificity to what they're saying was the nexus, it was an article. And the article was about a misdemeanor from 30 years ago, 1993. And in particular to what you were saying, let's go to the vetting question, because I think that's important. And I posted this, I believe it was yesterday, well, 22 hours ago from this conversation. And the vetting question, quote unquote, are there any concerns in your past or present that may bring negative media attention? Ari, can you imagine that? Negative media attention to yourself or the WSRP that we should be made aware of. I cannot begin to tell you the ambiguity or subjectiveness of a question like that. Now, since 1993.
Wait a second. I gotta stop you right there. So with regard to that, I remember filling out those forms. I remember when I ran for office and filled out those forms, and I was pretty blatant about, yeah, I think this might do it, or I think that might do it, or I think this may. That's not an unreasonable question, especially given the things that have come up in your background.
Yeah, so not to you, but to me, when I held a top secret SCI clearance for many, many, many years since the 1990s, I'm like, I'm not embarrassed by it. I'm not. Because that is in my past 30 years ago. Most reasonable people would say, if you do something in your past, my father, in a case of this misdemeanor, and I'll say it on your show, for all of your listeners to understand, if it's okay with you, I'd like to say what I did and say that I did wrong. I used my father's credit to get an $1,800 credit line. I was bitter about my father and our relationship, and I was wrong in doing so. And in result, I was held accountable, as I should have been. And I have a misdemeanor from 1993. My father forgave me. I was at his deathbed, and so was the rest of the family. When he said he loved me, he forgave me. Our life was good towards the end of his life. My God has forgiven me. And here I am 30 years in the past. At what point in time are we going to stop trying to lynch people for things of their past and start focusing on the present? I'm not ashamed of the man I am. So I answered that question. I put that vetting question out because I don't hide from it.
But wait a second. Wait a second here, Sammy. That's a very touching story, but you lay that out and the Democrats are, I'm not saying it's not. The Democrats aren't going to care. They're not going to care if it was 30 minutes ago. They're not going to care if it was 5 minutes ago. They're going to hit you with this. They're going to hit you with the recall efforts. They're going to hit you with the 911 calls. They're going to hit you with the gun stuff. They're going to hit you with all this.
Good.
And when you're knocking on doors, you have maybe a minute to try and explain this to somebody who's already seen a campaign ad that a bad campaign consultant would put together based on all this stuff. And the average voter isn't going to care that it was 30 years ago. The average voter is going to see that commercial, and then they're going to say, why should I vote for this guy? What would you tell them?
100%. You guys were wrong before, and you're dead wrong now. You were wrong before when you said he has no chance. He has no chance to win the convention. He has no chance to win the primary. He has no chance to win the general. So phase one, wrong. You'll be wrong in phase two, the primary, and you're going to be wrong in phase three, the general. And here's why, specifically. Guess what? I'm not the only one out there who's ever had a misdemeanor. You ever heard of a lady named Tara Simmons, state representative, former convict, former felon, state representative, lawyer, currently serving, elected, reelected? Let's talk about that. We don't need to.
Wait a second. You're comparing yourself to the woman who tried to pass some ridiculous legislation that would favor felons here in Washington state, that would remove the time they spend in jail, that would remove sentencing enhancements, and you think that's going to convince Republican voters to vote for you?
Oh, no. Did you not just say Democrats?
What I'm saying is,
did you not just say convince Democrats? You said, right, shall we record it? Shall we rewind it? You just said you're going to be knocking on doors, and you have a number of seconds to convince Democrats, or they're going to be airing this on Democrats. So again, let's just stay true to what the response to what you asked. My friend, I'm just being straight up with you. I'm not trying to compare my politics to Tara Simmons. What I'm trying to say is, regardless of politics, you have a woman who was elected to state office and reelected to state office, who was a convicted felon, served time in prison, turned her life around, and apparently she navigated that in the eyes of those Democrat voters. And so when they bring my misdemeanor from 30 years ago, certainly her election of 2019 bears a comparative. And then for me to respond to your question, well, there it is. And not just me hope and prayer. That is a quantitative response to your question.
So what I'm confused on is just, how do you think this is going to play at the polls? All this baggage that you have, including a recall against you when you were on school board. I'm saying this is a lot of stuff where somebody just looks at it. I mean, when I ran for office, they made up stuff about me. It was completely fake and people believed it. Here we have a bunch of stuff that, whatever reasons, whatever explanations, whatever circumstances there are, it's not untrue. So how do you convince the voters that you're the guy to trust for this?
Well, I just gave you one example, and let's just go with the other stuff. You know, contrary to what we certain people choose to focus on for their own agenda, clearly, which is why we're dwelling on this, people act like, oh, you forgot about my whole career in the military, the fact that I served and was wounded in combat for my country post 9/11. And by the way, 9/11, that was September 11th, 2001. Not 1991, 2003, or 7. People want to forget that. People want to forget that I volunteered to become a Special Forces Green Beret at age 43. People want to forget that I'm a high school dropout, and let me look at my wall. I received my Master's of Science degree in 2012, not 1992. So people are going to see that the guy born without civil rights came up from the ghetto of East Oakland, California, now achieve the American dream because of the America that we have. That's what those people are going to see, Ari. They're going to see you can't hold a brother back.
But Sonny,
you can't hold a brother down. You can try to tarnish me. You can try to label lynch me. You can try to lynch me in the public court of opinion. But you can't hold me down, because we the people, just like last week, will speak up loud and true and say, we are tired of the political elite and all those who they can buy. We are going back to self-governance, and we're going to represent someone of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that's right. We, the people, have made mistakes in our life. And if God can forgive us, we can forgive us.
Sonny, that's the third time on this interview you've mentioned lynching. You mentioned at the convention, you mentioned the 1960s. Do you think there's a racial problem in the GOP, or do you think it's the things in your background?
Well, no, I don't play the race card, and that's not what my intent is. Clarence Thomas mentioned it. A label lynching is something that has been used by white Republicans quite often. It's a phrase, label lynching. It's the same thing that has been used by many others. Label lynching, public lynching, it's the same thing. And what I mean, if you want me to bring that out, it's simply tarnishing someone in the court. Well, they did that to Judge Kavanaugh. They did that to Clarence Thomas. And that wasn't Republicans doing that. That was Democrats that were doing it.
So why do you think they're not going to do it to you based on all this stuff?
Oh, it's okay. I expect they will. But here's the common sense answer to what you're saying. Do you think that Democrats aren't looking at the news right now? Do you think Democrats aren't reading the papers or listening to you right now? They are. And do you not understand that, well, the primary is some months away, and the general is some months away? It's already out there, and we're already out there. And you'll be surprised, just like you were last week, of the support we're going to bring in during the primary and the support we're going to bring in during the general. Because, again, as I said, people of all backgrounds are hearing this, and they're saying, I've been there. I've done that. That man also stands for me. And I'm making it very clear, the beauty of America. We forgive, we move on, and I do believe I'm a story of redemption. I have been redeemed people can try to go back. And let's talk about that recall that you like to mention and others like to mention. Why was I recalled? Not stealing cookies from the cafeteria. I stood for the lives of our children and the principles that a mandate is not a law, and masking of children should be a choice of their parents. And there are a lot of Republicans and Democrats alike that were marching in the streets of Seattle saying, no, that is unconstitutional, what you took from us and what you mandated on us. That's what I stood for, and that's what they recalled me for. I wore that as a badge of honor, but they want to say, well, how can you get elected when your own county? Let's talk about that to bring some truth and facts to the matter. When you vote for things of the school district, it's people in the school district and not the county, which is why I have 80% support from delegates and on the polling in our county support for me. But yet I still, and two others, conservatives, were recalled from the school district, which is over half Democrat.
Semi,
we have to be truthful. Yes, sir.
Semi, being truthful, what do you say to the people who say the people who are sticking up for your campaign, the people who are talking about your campaign online, are spreading just flat out falsehoods, are spreading awful words about other people? That's the kind of thing that drove me away from your campaign, because I didn't hear you call it out. I didn't hear you condemn it. I didn't hear you say no to any of that. If we're speaking about truth, that is the stuff that made me not want to back you. How come you haven't distanced yourself from them?
Oh, Bob, oh my goodness. Go to Bird for Governor YouTube page, please. And for all of your listeners, everybody go to my YouTube page. Go to every single podcast that I've done and listen for yourself. I'm sorry that, Ari, I've always liked you. Always. I think you know that. Whenever I see, you know, I think you know that. Go to my podcast. You'll hear it every single time asking people stop. Go to this support page, this Bird for Governor support page.
Well, Sebby, that's all fine and good, but I never see you say it on social media when this stuff is going down. Tell us what they're going to hear on those podcasts, because not everybody's going to listen to them. Tell us now what you say to them now.
Oh, thank you. So go to social media. You'll see it. It's written, so you cannot make that up, and it's date stamped. Just to answer your question, Ari, it's there, Facebook. Now, let me say it now. Anybody who supports me, just like I said then, please stop calling names. Please stop trying to attack people just because they disagree with you. And people who hang on that acronym RINO, you're not articulating the position that you disagree with. RINO is an easy way out. Go and state clearly what is the position that you disagree with on a person. Don't call people a criminal. If you want to label someone, articulate what you have a problem with and give them an opportunity to share their thoughts. We should not be attacking one another. It used to be Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment. Republicans should not hurt one another. Republicans should not go after one another. So I'm saying it now, but I've said it on social media. Don't take my word for it. Go to my support page. It's there. I think Facebook is still considered social media. Go to those podcasts. I said it every single podcast almost that I've done. So I walk my talk, my friend. I'm saying it now. I told someone the other day, when you go out and you say these nasty things about people, and then you come back to my support page or my page, it's like robbing a bank with a Bird for Governor t-shirt and coming back to my campaign headquarters and saying, here's a donation. It makes no sense. You're doing harm, and that is not who I am as a person. That is why I don't call Dave Ryker names. You may hear Dave Ryker call me a crook and a snake oil salesman, and that is why I do not reciprocate to that, because I will not lower myself to do such things. It doesn't make us seem better in the eyes of other people, but for me, that is not who I am as a person. R, you said it the other day, and it was some time ago. You said, whenever I've met with Semi, I've always liked him, and in person, he seems like a good guy. I am the same man you met. I am. And I think you know that. I value your friendship. And I say that now to you because it means something to me. I've been wanting to tell you that. It means something to me. So we'll leave it at that in terms of that. But it does.
Well, I appreciate that, Sammy. No, I do. I do appreciate that. It's very kind of you. And I appreciate your candor today. And I appreciate you joining us to clarify all this, to discuss all this. And I wish you the best of luck in your campaign.
Thank you, brother. God bless you, brother.
All right. You take care now. We got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.